Hello, I'm Richard Lorne, a senior associate in the tech sector team at FieldFisher, and welcome to the FieldFisher Automation Unwrapped podcast. In this series, my colleagues from across the tech sector team speak to their contacts about the world of automation and what the future holds. In this episode, I speak to Frank Ganello, lead product and privacy counsel at Cruise, the leading self-driving car company, about how his youth as a self-proclaimed geek led him to an interest in privacy and automation. He talks on his personal views about the changing landscape of automation and the benefits and challenges the new technology brings into our lives. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Okay, well, thank you, Frank, for joining us. It's great to connect, and thanks for agreeing to take part in our Automation Unwrapped podcast. So to start off, would you be able to tell us a little bit about Cruise, for those who don't know and are not aware, and also a little bit more about your role as product and privacy counsel and some of your day-to-day tasks and your role at the company?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on the podcast and taking the time to chat. So my name is Ganello, and I'm lead product and privacy counsel for Cruise. It's a San Francisco-based AV company, autonomous vehicle. We are a subsidiary of GM. GM owns a large portion of our company, and we've been working for the past 10 years or so on bringing automated driverless vehicles to the streets of the United States and internationally. Our focus right now is on some of the cars that would be for either robo-taxi, the driverless ride-hail type services, and for delivery. But that's not an exhaustive list of use cases. And yeah, so I'm product counsel, and that is a very broad spectrum of issues. That's anything that touches the consumer product, but that also includes all of the back end type stuff, from customer support to the infrastructure and how the data is collected and stored. It has everything to do with the user experience, the app, any kind of web interface, and the features of the vehicle itself, the in-car screens and the entertainment suite, down to the air conditioning and the climate control. It's a very broad spectrum of types of legal issues that we deal with over there. And I'm happy to be a part of that team. And actually, the product side of my title is actually relatively new. About a year and a half ago, I moved from a dedicated privacy role into the product and privacy organization there, which was spun up since we were moving to commercialization. So there was a little bit of a need to be a little more broad in the types of issues covered. And given my background with a lot of the infrastructure, the data collection, all the stuff from the R&D phases, I had a lot of background knowledge, and I was able to slide into a more generic product role.
Fantastic. And are there any particular things that you really enjoy about your role? And at the same time, what would you say are the biggest difficulties or challenges that you currently experience in the work you do?
Yeah, the role is perfect for me. I've focused on, you know, I'm a huge, just in general, I've grown up as a nerd, gamer, computer guy. I studied computer science in college. I wanted to always use that kind of technical knowledge and background in a legal profession. And initially, I did a lot of work in law school and right out of law school on e-discovery, because there's a lot of technology overlap on data production and things like that. But I soon got turned on to the privacy field from a professor, a mentor of mine, who kind of introduced me to the topic. I joined the IAPP, went to some conferences, and got my hands dirty in privacy consulting, then eventually moved in-house and wound up here at Cruise, long story short. The types of issues in the privacy field for the last, you know, 10 years or so were all new. There was no privacy laws when I first got into this. Now they're starting to catch up. They're popping up all over. I think New Jersey was the latest very recently to have a new privacy law in the books. But the excitement of there not being established answers to a lot of the questions that I'm facing is what makes my job so exciting. It keeps me pretty engaged and thinking constantly, trying to think ahead of number one, how would the law treat it? But not just that, like, how would a customer or just a person feel about the types of issues that we have to make decisions on. And when you combine that with a field of autonomous vehicles, autonomous taxi services, autonomous delivery, these are things that no one's even seen before. So, you know, all of this just leads to just a blue ocean of new issues, new ways to think through problems and trying to anticipate it, ahead of any kind of actual regulatory inquiry, litigation, any of that stuff. So it's very fun to constantly be on the bleeding edge of that stuff. And that's one of the things I enjoy the most about Cruise. And the second part of your question was what kinds of issues in particular. And I think that I can speak very publicly. We've made a lot of effort, and I think we've done a pretty good job of disclosing to the public the types of data we collect. I think prior to even having a service, a commercial service in operation, we had our vehicles on the roads. They have a large number of sensors, a suite of sensors all over the vehicle, cameras, microphones, and radar and LIDAR, things like that. We've done a lot of great work to make our privacy policy super clear, to make our disclosures to the public and the cities that we're operating in very clear about what is the data that we're capturing from these vehicles. What do we use it for? That we would have disclosures if there were any third parties that had access to that data, and we do not sell that data. So we're pretty proud that we've been able to stay at the and a big one. It's something that a lot of people, whether you use this service or not, if you're in these cities that these vehicles are operating in, you want to know what are they capturing about the surroundings, how long is the company keeping it for, and who are they giving that information to. We've been very transparent and made a lot of effort to be transparent on those issues. Those have been some of the most important ones on the forefront of my memory.
For sure. And, you know, with any new technology, but particularly for something like autonomous vehicles, trust and user and consumer trust is such a big part of that. And that's not only around physical safety, but that's around data and privacy practices, et cetera, what you're speaking to. So absolutely. And you mentioned this kind of earlier love of technology and where technology might take us. So how do you personally see automation and driverless cars potentially changing our lives in the next couple of years? And we've seen a lot of developments, right? I mean, we've moved now from a state of testing and trialing to the actual commercial operation of driverless cars and ride hailing services. But where do you see the next steps, maybe in the 12 months to come or the next couple of years?
Yeah, that is a million-dollar question that we could probably talk for hours on. Automation, whether you call it AI or you're just referring to the results of machine learning and large data sets, things like that, it is becoming prevalent in just about every aspect of our lives. And I think we're going to have a very hard time moving away from that. At a certain point, we're not going to know the difference. And that can be a really good thing, a really positive thing. I know that topic comes up and a lot of people like to immediately bring up Terminator type scenarios, but you know, there's a lot of convenience added by that, facilitation, efficiency of sharing of information, things like that. But I think one in very particular to Cruise is the safety aspect. And I think that when you start leveraging these large data sets, you start incorporating the automation into technology. We've already seen it in our launch of our commercial service, and it only gets better and better, that the data suggests that we're getting better in the human driver. And that is our goal. Yeah, the goal is to make safer roads. That means less accidents, less injuries, more transportation options for people. And then, of course, the environmental benefits of having our all-electric fleet and minimization of traffic due to less accidents, all that stuff comes as added benefit. But the key here is safety. And we couldn't do what we're doing without the use of automation technologies in order to deliver that result.
So speaking of safety, what are biggest challenges for the industry and for companies like Cruise that are developing and deploying autonomous technologies, whether that be driverless cars, robotics, or other types of physical objects that are now going to be powered by AI? What, apart from safety, what are some of the other challenges you think are facing the sector as a whole?
Yeah. So speaking generally about the industry as a whole, there's some obvious ones that stick out dealing with long tail type scenarios with the driving. Cities are very different. The streets, behaviors of people are very different from place to place. You get a lot of variables and there's a lot of learning that needs to be done to account for that. I think the industry as a whole, whether that's Tesla, Waymo, or just even companies that are trying to build driver assistance features, a lot of those things that they continue to deal with. But I think a really interesting one that kind of crosses over with some of the other AI machine learning stuff is anytime you use data for automated decisions. We are collecting a lot of sensor data and it's for a very particular purpose. It's to know the surroundings and make proper driving decisions. Fortunately, we're not taking that data and using it for other purposes besides the driving function, but just in general for automation technology, AI technologies. I think you always have to be mindful of what kind of biases are being either injected by the data itself, if the data pools that you're collecting are not proper, if they're not adequately representing the population, and then also the results based on whatever calculations you're running, whatever your automation is designed to do, you want to be very mindful of what are the results, whether unintentional biases and things that result from that. And I think in that regard, any company that's using large sets of data to generate automated decisions needs to remain mindful of that and have some kind of governance over that kind of information.
Great. And just to wrap up, what do you see the role of regulation? And do you think we're going to be seeing more regulation potentially ahead in terms of automated technologies?
Yeah, regulation is key to making sure. I think it works hand in hand with the companies trying to launch technology, not against them. When there's really well thought out regulation that's emerging at the same rate that the technology is, it helps establish the barometer by which the public can trust a company that's doing this. When there's not enough oversight, then the public doesn't know what to think because they're not being really given that information by an authority who can say what to look for. And I think that's not in the public's interest. I think there can also be overregulation, which can stifle the technology and allow even other countries to emerge with this technology that's going to be so prevalent throughout the world that the U.S. could actually fall behind if there's overregulation as much as underregulation. So there's a sweet spot to that. I think the one of the biggest challenges, and maybe this is even better exemplified by some of the artwork that's taking place, some of like the Midjourney lawsuits that are taking place now, the scraping of that data, the IP rights to that information. These are issues that there were no laws on the books to prevent the technologies from being developed based upon them, arguably. I think there's a lot of arguments that copyright law and whatnot still applies, and I think that the courts will sort that out. But what's really difficult and why the governments and regulators need to keep up is that once these technologies are brought out to the public, it's, as they say, the toothpaste can't be put back in the tube at that point. Some of these models are out there now. And whether they're deemed legal or not, they can't really be retracted. The damage from these technologies can be done going forward. And now it's just cat and mouse kind of thing, trying to enforce it as opposed to being involved more heavily in the front and making sure that the technologies are built to not be misused or abuse others' rights, things like that. So, you know, all that's to say, I think there is definitely a place for regulation of these things. I hope to see sophistication growing in lots of different areas so that those things can be pushed out at the same rate as the technology and not one waiting behind the other.
Fantastic. And often technology leads and law follows. But to your point, I think technologists and lawyers increasingly need to work together and to have conversation to make sure that when we're thinking about new technologies and the risk they pose, we're also thinking about how and whether that should be regulated. So there's clearly going to be a lot of those conversations and discussions over the next few years. Is that already happening?
Just to put that in even more perspective, I think it's really interesting when you think about these LLMs like ChatGPT. The reality is these things are put together, new releases of them begin getting tested on capabilities and what they can do. And it's actually unknown when a new version of ChatGPT comes out. It's unknown what it actually can do. And how are you supposed to regulate a technology that the moment it's released, it has capabilities that you couldn't even have conceived or thought through in the first place? If that doesn't tell you that we need to close that gap between regulation and the technology advancements, and I don't know what does. We can't really be as traditionally far behind with the law as we once were, because these technologies are exponentially releasing faster, doing greater things faster than we as developers can even keep up with, never mind the lawmakers.
One last question, Frank. Are you optimistic for how automation will change our lives? Do you think overall this is going to be a positive thing? Or do you think there are some downsides that we need to be aware of?
Yeah, I think with any new technology, there are unintended downsides, but overall, they increase our abilities as a civilization. They increase our learning and our understanding. You don't have to look too far back to see like the advent of social media. There's been plenty of things that social media was designed to do without realizing the unanticipated consequences of what it could have on society as a whole. So I think that that's a common trend, that there's always some downsides. But I think we're much more attuned to the fact that that is a reality. I think that we have very smart people working to protect against those things. And overall, I think that the pros will outweigh the cons, but we have to be vigilant. I think we have the landscape of the legal profession has been evolving. New generations of lawyers are much more in touch with these technologies, understand them a lot better. There's a lot more programs in law schools designed to look at these things. Yeah, I think that it's closing the gap, and I am hopeful that we continue to do that. I think with the amount of sharing of information and communication online, the facilitation of calls, podcasts like this one, you get a lot more attention on issues a lot faster. And I think we can step up to the call and make sure that we're doing the right things, trying to build these technologies for the best possible result. But we all have to just remain on that and keep working together to do that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time, Frank. And I know you have a very busy schedule, so we appreciate you making the time, and I'll let you get back to your working day. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Feel Fisher's Automation Unwrapped podcast. If you have any questions about today's update, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. If you found it useful, also make sure to give us a like or review on your podcatcher of choice. Thanks for taking the time to listen, and we'll see you next time.